This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hello, I hope that whenever you're listening to this, you're having a wonderful day. So this is another episode where it's just me. And today we're going to be talking about packaging and presenting your products. Because when you're creating your own product to sell, it's really important to think of the whole package, excuse the pun. So I'm going to start by talking about why is your packaging important? And I'm sure that, you know, you possibly know this, but perhaps we're going to touch on some things that you haven't yet considered. And the first thing is that it adds to the overall customer experience. So the packaging is actually a part of what you're offering. It's an integral part of your product, and it can also help add value to your product. For example, let's take the example of a baby towel, which is a product that I used to sell. So what do you think would look more premium? A baby towel that's packaged in a really lovely box, or if it comes shrink wrapped or just wrapped in clear plastic? It's exactly the same product, and the difference in cost for the packaging might not be that much, although as I'm saying this out loud, I'm thinking actually there probably will be a difference in cost, but it makes a huge difference in terms of perceived value and what you can potentially charge. So yes, a box might be more expensive. However, let's say the box costs an extra pound, putting figures out of the air here, but you could charge another £5 because it is beautifully boxed. Obviously, that makes it worth an investment. I'll give you a real example of something that happened to me. I bought a headband online and it came unbranded, you know, just a clear like plastic bag. And it was sufficient because the product was clean, it was in good condition, but it didn't tell me anything about who made it. I couldn't recommend that seller to you now. I'll be honest, I bought this, I can't remember if it was on Etsy or Amazon, but I couldn't tell you who I bought from because I have no clue who it is. However, had they added a simple sticker or put an insert card inside, that would have been a really good and still quite cheap addition, but just told me a little bit about who I bought from, and then perhaps I'd remember them, and then, you know, I'd be able to recommend them to you now. But unfortunately, because there hadn't been that consideration put into the packaging, I wasn't able to do that. So another thing that great packaging can do is give your brand a bit of character. So I am definitely not a branding expert, I should say that here. I did have a branding expert, consultant Rebendon, on a previous episode. She also wrote a really great blog post for me as well. I'm going to link both of those in the show notes, because if you're at all interested in your branding, these are really good resources. And as part of that, Cara gives some really great advice on packaging your products and the whole unboxing experience. And I'm just going to touch now on a few ways that how you package your products can really elevate your brand. So if the unboxing experience is an experience, so when customers open your product, you know, it's nice, you know, it's a pleasant experience, it's much more likely that they'll share that on social media and give you a bit of free marketing. You can add your own messaging to your packaging. So whether that's a little know, whether you want to share information about your brand values, what difference buying your product makes, who you are, what you're about, this is your space to do that. For example, I bought some earrings recently and there was a little card in with them that explained that because I'd placed that order, a tree had been planted on my behalf, and that was really sweet. And do you know what I did? I shared that on my Instagram stories because I thought, oh, this is so lovely. And then of course that gave that brand a bit of marketing at the same time. So I definitely think this is something worth thinking about And also, just from a practical point of view, if you want to ask people to leave you reviews, if you want to offer discounts for future purchases, or maybe for signing up to a subscription to receive your product regularly, whether you want to share tips on how your product can be used, maybe how your packaging could be reused, give any kind of useful information, this is your space to do so. So not only does your packaging serve a practical function, in terms of keeping your product, you know, contained within something, but you've got all of that space, however you decide to package your product, you know, whether this is a box and you've got loads of space to work with, or whether you're thinking of just adding a little card inside something that's nicely gift wrapped, however you do that, you've got some space to kind of get your brand messaging across. And then finally, I'm going to talk about the fact that packaging also protects your product. And this might seem silly because you might think, well, actually my product doesn't need a lot of packaging, maybe doesn't need any packaging, but you do need to think about how you protect it during shipping and storage if that's applicable to you. And I'm going to give a real example here. So my products are all packaged in recyclable craft cardboard boxes. So they were intended for gifting. So the boxes had to be really sturdy because they had to make a trip. So I knew up front that they had to make the trip from the manufacturer to my warehouse, then some went to Amazon, and then finally they'd go to the customer who might have actually bought it to someone else, and then, you know, they'd be going on another trip. So they were getting, basically they were getting a lot of handling. Knowing that they were intended to get a lot of handling, I needed the boxes to be really, really sturdy to withhold that. And I'm going to be honest as well, I actually learned this the hard way, because the first lot of boxes that I got, they looked really good. So they were like very similar gift boxes. They had exactly the same design and branding. They looked really professional, but they just weren't quite strong enough. And lots of those boxes got crushed either from the trip from the manufacturer over to the UK because they were made abroad, or when they were being sent into Amazon, and actually sometimes on the trip from Amazon to the customer. So as you can see, your packaging needs to be sufficient. And that really leads me on to my next point, which is, I know from experience that products get thrown around. They get thrown around in vans, in warehouses, they get thrown over people's gates, they get rammed through letterboxes, they get left outside in the rain. And if you're sending in products for Amazon to sell via FBA, they can get thrown around a bit there as well. This maybe isn't the best example, but not long ago, Amazon delivered me a book and it came in a cardboard envelope and they left it sat outside in the rain. Now, no card came through the door, so I had absolutely no idea there was something sat out there, and it ended up soaking wet. Now, that isn't the seller's fault, as they trusted Amazon to take care of their product, and that this is definitely, you know, something for another episode. But I only share this to highlight that if you were selling a product that might deteriorate, if it got wet, for example, a cardboard envelope might not be enough to protect it from the elements. So if you were posting it yourself, you might have to add another layer of protection, or if you were sending it into Amazon, you might have to think, you know, you might also have to think about that. So that's just a practical thing to think about. And while of course you can't prevent any of the above from happening, you know, anything I've just talked about, if you package your products in a way that protects it the best you can, then I think that gives the customer the best experience that you can as well. And you know, this is all going to help in the long run. And I should also say that this is not a rant at delivery drivers, and it's not intended as that either. I just want to be really honest about, I mean, you've probably seen it yourself, packages can get damaged. And I guess the bottom line is this: what you cannot count on at any stage of the process is anyone else caring about your product and the condition it arrives in as much as you do, other than the customer, because the customer is obviously going to be pretty upset if they receive your product and it's not in the condition it was intended. So therefore, you do need to think about the packaging and ensure it's packaged in a way that will keep it protected as best you can to give the customer a better experience. And as I said earlier, this is really important, especially important if you sell a product which is frequently gifted, because not only is it going to be handled more, people tend to get more upset if they're buying something for someone else. You know, if something's tended to be a gift and it doesn't look perfect, because if you're buying something for yourself and, you know, it doesn't look great, perhaps, you know, you're going to throw the packaging away, it doesn't matter so much. But if you're buying for someone else, it's super, super important. So if you're selling any kind of gifting product, this is especially important. So let's talk now about how do you start with choosing and designing your product packaging. So first of all, I just want you to remember that your package doesn't need to be fancy, it doesn't need to be expensive, but it just needs a little bit of thinking about. So there are four main things I think you need to consider. So one is functionality, which we just talked about. So your packaging needs to do its job, so i.e. keep the product in a really good condition. The second thing is aesthetics, because ideally it'll look nice too. And then I guess think about the purpose of it. So is your product purely functional? So is it just something to keep your product safe, as we've just been talking about? Or do you want to use it to share more information about your brand? Do you want to use it to get people to your website? Do you want to educate them about your product and how to use it? You don't have to do any or all of this, but it's just things to think about. And then the last thing to think about is legislation, which I'm going to talk about a bit more in a few minutes. So in terms of how to actually package your product, there are lots and lots of options, and it really depends on what you're selling and what your budget is. So just a few things I can think about, I've just made some notes of things I thought about off the top of my head, are boxes. So bespoke boxes you might get someone to make for you, maybe a plain box or maybe a box with a window. Then there are letter boxes. So these are the kind of boxes that you can buy these and apply your own branding, or you can have them especially made. So these are the ones that fit through everyone's letter boxes. There are gift bags. So you could have like little bags made up. Padded envelopes, which you can get all kinds of different ones now. You can get eco-friendly ones, you can get all kinds of different colours. So that's an option. You can also get standard envelopes. I used to sell my bamboo swaddles in envelopes that were made of bamboo starch. So they're eco-friendly, but they looked like plastic, but they were actually not. You might want to use tissue paper or wrapping paper. Maybe you even want to get some branded wrapping paper printed to wrap your product in. You might want to use stickers or stamps to seal or personalize your packaging. Maybe you want to invest in some branded belly bands or some ribbon. So there are lots and lots of options depending what your product is, what your budget is, and what you want to achieve. And as I mentioned earlier, you might also want to decide to include an insert with an offer, a discount, or a request for feedback or request for reviews in your packaging as well. And that doesn't necessarily have to be on your packaging. You might just want to include sort of a little card or something, but these are all just ideas to get you started. Speaking of getting you started, one of my best practical tips, and this is what I did way back when I was launching my first product, is look at how other similar products are packaged. So you can either go into a shop or you can order some products online, hopefully with the intention of returning them. You know, not trying to suggest you spend lots of money here, to see how similar products are packaged and maybe get some inspiration. So you might look at what kind of packaging they use, how it's constructed, what kind of things are written on it, is there an insert card or a flyer that you get with it, and just make some notes. And I should say, and I probably don't need to say this, but please don't copy anyone else's packaging. This isn't what I'm suggesting. I'm just suggesting that you do this as a starting point to get some inspiration. And perhaps you don't even look at products that are similar to yours. Perhaps if you're selling a gift, you just look at other more general gifting items. It's just really to get some ideas. And when you're, you know, if you're shopping online or shopping anywhere and you get something and you think, oh, I really like how this is packaged, make a note of what it was you liked, or take a photo, because when it comes to actually doing this for yourself, it's really easy to forget all of this, like all of these things that really inspired you. So do take some notes, because it is worth thinking about. As I say, it really is a big part of the customer experience. So in terms of what do you need actually on your packaging, so I would suggest as a minimum you would have your logo on your packaging. So whatever you know, whatever kind of product you're selling and whatever kind of packaging you're using, so whether you have a special box or whether you are using a branded sticker, I would have your logo and the name of your company so that people know who they've ordered from. You might also want to have something on your packaging that explains what the product is, and you might want to include where it was designed and made if that's something that's going to be useful to customers. Other things you can include either on your packaging or inside it somewhere are maybe information about how to care for your product. So for example, if you're selling garments, it might be washing information. You might want to include a printed barcode or space for a barcode sticker to be applied. You might want to include a call to action on your packaging, so leave feedback, join my mailing list, get a discount, etc., etc. And you might want to include social media links or your website address. You don't need to do any of this or all of this, by the way. The point of this is just really to get you started thinking about what you might like to do. I mentioned barcodes earlier, so I'm just going to sort of very quickly mention that if you need barcodes to sell your product, and I can't tell you, you know, whether you do or don't, but if you do, and you'll know if you do, if you're selling on Amazon, you will. If you need them, the only place you can buy them from in the UK is GS1, and I'm going to link to the GS1 website in the show notes for the episode. This is the only source of barcodes that are accepted by most retailers and marketplaces in the UK. Please don't try and buy them on eBay. A few years ago, this was something that people did a lot, and you can get into trouble that way. So please, 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 I know it's an extra cost that, you know, many of us don't need, but it really is worth it to have barcodes that you can feel confident they're yours, they're registered to your business, your products, and you can use them anywhere you like. So if you need barcodes, please buy them from GS1. So I mentioned earlier around legislation, about that being important. So what I mean here, I'm just going to touch on this briefly, is that some products have rules around how they're packaged or what's included on the packaging. For example, in the UK, if you're selling prepackaged food products, there are certain things that are required to be on the label. If your product is wrapped in plastic, you require a suffocation warning. And of course, there are many, many more examples that I'm not going to give here. So Google is probably a good place to start when researching this. If you Google packaging requirements for, and you type the country that you're in and the type of product you're selling, you should find some guidelines online. I would suggest trying to find the official government website on this if you can. If you have any doubts, do lots and lots of research, try and make some calls to clarify. It's definitely better to get this right initially than making changes at a later date. And I'm not trying to scare you here either, because there are lots and lots of products that you can package any way you like. But it's just really worth doing a check, just so you're clear. So anything that's consumable generally has some rules for the packaging, and anything that's topical as well, so that's used on your body, will have certain rules. And yeah, so that's something definitely worth looking at. Something else worth thinking about is marketplace requirements. And what I mean by this is, if you're looking to sell your product online, then some online marketplaces, and I'll be really honest, I'm thinking of Amazon right now, have requirements on how products need to be packaged, which Amazon call prepped, when they arrive at the warehouse. These are mainly for the reasons I spoke about earlier. So if they think your product isn't adequately packed to prevent damage, they might return them to you, or they actually might get damaged before they manage to return them to you. So as an example, they state that textile items must be wrapped in shrink wrap or put in a sealed poly bag. Now, this doesn't need to be your main packaging, of course, but if you're looking to sell a textile item on Amazon eventually, this is at least something you can factor in now while you're planning what you need. Or another example is, if you are selling a product that comes in a glass bottle, then there needs to be some element of bubble wrap involved. It's just worth thinking about, if you're looking at a certain marketplace, like I say, and Amazon is a great example. If you're looking, you know you want to sell your products in Amazon, I would just look up front at, what do I need to do in terms of packaging if I'm going to be sending in products for them to dispatch? And as I say, this doesn't need to be your main packaging, but it might be something you can at least think about incorporating. In terms of where you would get your packaging made, so if you're looking having, so, okay, let's start from the beginning. If you are making a product, you're making your product yourself, or your product is made in the UK, you might find the easiest thing is to find a packaging supplier either local to you or online. And there are some really good, affordable, eco-friendly options available. Or it might be that you want something bespoke designed, but I would always suggest, if you can, doing that local to you where you can. If you're sourcing your product, so perhaps you're having your product made abroad, your supplier should be able to help you either themselves, or they should be able to put you in touch with a packaging supplier. Generally, if your product is being produced abroad, it is cheaper most of the time to get your packaging made abroad too, and for your product to be placed in your packaging before it's shipped to you. Not always, but most of the time. One thing to know is it's quite usual for packaging companies, whether based in the UK or abroad, to have a higher minimum order quantity than you would for your product. This is something I've certainly found. If this is the case, I would suggest either asking for the leftover packaging to be stored by your supplier if you're sourcing your product from someone else, or if it's a product you're making or having made a bit more locally, perhaps you can store the packaging yourself, whatever suits really. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you can afford to, I wouldn't worry if the packaging orders, if the packaging quantity seem quite high, and I wouldn't necessarily suggest trying to bring them down, because it will be cheaper for you to have higher quantities, and it is fairly standard. So don't worry about that. Okay, so next thing I want to touch on briefly is, do you need a packaging designer? Maybe, it really depends what you want. If you're going to have, you know, let's say a box designed specifically for your product, or even if you want just a backing card or an insert, then maybe you do want this done professionally. And if you do, there's a few things that your packaging designer will need to know. So first of all is the dimensions. And if you're not sure what dimensions you want, so let's say you're having something made for you and you're really not sure what size the packaging would need to be, ask the person who's making it and they should be able to advise. You want to have an idea on the kind of materials that you want to use. Things like colours and fonts. If you have this, it's a really good idea to give an idea of the kind of thing you like, and this is why sharing photos of packaging that you've seen and liked can be really helpful. If you have any restrictions around colours, for example, it's worth your designer knowing this. So for example, when I was having my boxes for Tiny Chipmunk made, they were printed in two colours, because if I'd gone over the two colours, there would have been additional, I think they were called plate charges, and so to avoid those, I stuck to just having two colours on my packaging. So it was obviously really important that the designer I was working with knew this. And then of course everything you actually want included on your packaging, so any text or images or washing instructions, or do you need space for the barcode, or does the barcode actually need to be on there, whatever it is. I mean, we've touched on all of this earlier, but everything that physically needs to be on your packaging, you just need to let them know. And I know this has been a fairly quick overview, but I hope it's been really helpful. I have one final tip for you, which is to start thinking about your packaging early. So that way you can find out whether you can get what you want, because it might be that actually you think, okay, I want some bespoke boxes made, and then you go down that route and find out that actually it's going to be, you know, it's going to put too much cost on, or it's going to take too long, or whatever it might be. And also you will find out what the costs are likely to be. So as I said, you can factor that in, and you can also then make decisions. Hopefully you've heard my episode on pricing, which was, I think, at least a month ago now. Do go back and listen to that one if you haven't already. But as I say, packaging, how you package your product can make a difference to how you can price your product. Because if you have super premium packaging, perhaps you can charge slightly more. And so it's worth factoring all of this in when you're thinking about how to price your product as well. So I really hope that helps. Hopefully you found this fairly comprehensive, even though it was a quick overview. If there is anything that I haven't covered that you'd like to know, if you've got any outstanding questions, you can email me, vicky@vickyweinberg.com, or you can go over to my website, vickyweinberg.com, and contact me there. And that's VickyWeinberg. So have a lovely rest of your day. Again, I do hope you found this helpful, and I will see you back here with another episode and another fantastic guest next week. Thank you so much for listening right to the end of this episode. Do remember that you can get the full back catalogue and lots of free resources on my website, vickyweinberg.com. Please do remember to rate and review this episode if you've enjoyed it, and also share it with a friend who you think might find it useful. Thank you again, and see you next week. Hi, this is just a little note to say, if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.